So today we will dive even deeper into that nectarian ocean, Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 11, chapter 5, text 5.
Vipravachamya Vaishyava.
It is said that a little knowledge can be very dangerous. Those who are falsely proud of material social status and who thus neglect to perfect their worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are condemned in this verse. Muhyanti amnaya vadinaha. Becoming attracted by the sense gratification of high status within the Varnashram social system, such persons become more attracted to illusory material philosophy than to the absolute truth, which is not material. Within the Vedic system, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, as mentioned in this verse, are all offered initiation into the Gayatri Mantra and are considered twice born or highly civilized men. By studying Vedic literature, chanting Vedic mantras, executing ritualistic ceremonies, and worshipping the spiritual master and the personality of Godhead, such persons gradually come near to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. If one in such an exalted position becomes proud of his status or fascinated by the heavenly material enjoyment that is undoubtedly available to the followers of the Varnashram system, then one's soul bewildered returns to the illusory material platform of birth and death. Even the highly posted demigods become victims of Maya's enticement as described in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Muhyantiya Surya. In order to justify their illusory desire to enjoy dead matter, such foolish persons condemn themselves by minimizing the necessity of worshipping the personality of Godhead, of Ajahananti, and falsely try to give equal importance to the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, which awards heavenly sense gratification in exchange for the performance of prescribed ritualistic ceremonies. Such bogus rationalizers are described in Bhagavad Gita 2.42. yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadam yavapishchataha vedabhadarata parata nanyam astiti vadinaha. Men of small knowledge are very much attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to the heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so on. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse of Bhagavad Gita gives a clear picture of the offensive class of men described therein. Quote, "People in general are not very intelligent, and due to their ignorance, they are most attached to the fruitive activities recommended in the karma-kanda portions of the Vedas. They do not want anything more than sense gratificatory proposals for enjoying life in heaven, where wine and women are available and material opulence is very common. In the Vedas, many sacrifices are recommended for elevation of the heavenly planets, especially the Jyotishtoma sacrifice. In fact, it is stated that anyone desiring elevation to heavenly planets must perform these sacrifices, and men with a poor fund of knowledge think that this is the whole purpose of the Vedic wisdom. It is very difficult for such inexperienced persons to be situated in the determined action of Krishna consciousness. As fools are attached to the flowers of poisonous trees without knowing the results of such attractions, similarly, unenlightened men are attracted by such heavenly opulence and the sense enjoyment thereof." In the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, it is said that those who perform the four monthly penances become eligible to drink the Soma Rasa beverage to become immortal and happy forever. Even on this earth, some are very eager to have Soma Rasa to become strong and fit to enjoy sense gratification. Such persons have no faith in liberation from material bondage, and they are very much attached to the pompous ceremonies of Vedic sacrifices. They are generally sensual, and they do not want anything other than the heavenly pleasures of life. It is understood that there are gardens called Nanda Kanana, in which there is good opportunity for association with angelic, beautiful women, and having a profuse supply of Soma Rasa wine. Such bodily happiness is certainly sensual. Therefore, those who are purely attached to material temporary happiness as lords of this material world. Therefore, there are those who are purely attached to material temporary happiness as lords of the material world. The significant point in this verse is that such bewildered materialists who become attracted to the materialistic portions of the Vedas, muhyanti amnaya vadina, desire to ignore the supreme proprietorship of the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme enjoyer, bhoktaram jagatapasam, and at the same time they wish to preserve their exalted status as followers of the Vedic principles. Such duplicitous persons take shelter of materialistic philosophers such as Jnanini, deny the existence of God as a tangible principle, Ishvara, Siddhe, and therefore recommend material fruitive activities as the highest noble truth. Such so-called Vedic philosophers amount to little more than polished atheists and are therefore understood to be Anishvar Vadina, or those who preach against the authority, who preach against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of God. Although foolish materialistic followers of the Varnashram system desire to maintain their exalted status as Aryans or twice more than men, and at the same time neglect the personality of Godhead, it is clearly stated in the Bhagavatam 11.5.3, Stana Vrashta Patam Yalaha. Such persons inevitably fall from their position into a degraded condition of life. As confirmed in this verse, the word Muhyanti, they fall into the darkness of ignorance. Sometimes such pious persons even present themselves as gurus. However, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that they are actually laghu or flimsy rather than guru or heavy with knowledge, heavy with Vedic knowledge. It is one's ultimate duty to oneself, svartha gati, and to the personality of Godhead to give up all materialistic activities characterized by karma and jnana and to surrender fully at the lotus feet of the Lord. Only the most unfortunate person will consider that there is a higher pleasure than ecstatic surrender at the lotus feet of Gokulananda and the personality of God. Second birth, the Vedic initiation can become bewildered and adopt various materialistic philosophies. We have to be very careful. It's not that, well, now I'm initiated, so I'm going back to God. It's not such a cheap thing like that. If we start thinking like that, well, I got my initiation, I'm all set, then it's like Christianity. Well, I accepted Jesus, so I'm going to heaven. Let's say that Christian man, he did somehow get to heaven. But what did he do every Sunday after church along with his wife and his kids? He went to McDonald's every Sunday. His taste was mixed. His taste for worshiping God was mixed with the taste for blood and flesh at McDonald's hamburgers. So every Sunday he takes the family after church. They really look forward to going to McDonald's after church every Sunday. So let's say somehow that person and his family members, they achieve the kingdom of God. But that taste, as soon as they get there, they say, it's very nice to be here, but after a little while, where is the nearest McDonald's hamburger stand? The Lord would say, well, we don't have that chain here. We just have to go business here in the spiritual world. Sorry. So as long as one has a taste for material sense gratification, one is not qualified to achieve the transcendental kingdom. Even though may think, well, I'm qualified in so many ways, I'm initiated, I accepted Jesus, So I'm guaranteed going back to God. But what is the faith? What is your heart hankering for, you see? That's what I will actually determine the next position, where you will be. What is the taste one has in one's heart? If I'm still hankering for material sense enjoyment, then Krishna will say, alright, you want that, I will give you. Yes. See, Krishna is kind. If you want that material sense gratification, he will give. So, we have to be very careful how we cultivate Krishna consciousness. If you're watering a garden, one has to be very careful that there are no weeds also growing beside the plant you're trying to cultivate. So, as we cultivate the bhakti kshetra within the heart, we have to make sure we are not cultivating any weeds along with that bhakti kshetra, any weeds of material desire. So, we must very carefully see that we are focusing our consciousness on achieving pure bhakti. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ahaitati Yatiyata Yajatma Supasidati. If one's consciousness is not unmotivated and is interrupted by material desires, then even if one is practicing bhakti, one will not be satisfied. In other words, to become satisfied, completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness, we have to do it 24/7, uninterrupted bhakti, without any material motive. That's the key. Of course, in the beginning, it is natural to have material motives. That is our nature. In the material world, they want us to be motivated materially because that's the way we become productive, you see. When you go for a job, they want to see this person is materially motivated. And they hire you, well, he's a good person, he can work hard because he's materially motivated. So in this world, we're all geared up to be materially motivated in order to make it, you know, in the society. And when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we're thinking, what can I get out of this? How can it put me in a more advantageous position, etc., etc., etc.? And that's natural. But as we associate with these wonderful teachings, as we associate with senior devotees, with spiritual masters, as we associate and gain a glimpse into another type of consciousness, which is not based on material motivations, then we have to transition ourselves from that motivated position to the non-motivated position. So, we have three different types of association, three different categories of association to help us make that transition. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. We have the bona fide spiritual masters. We have great exalted Vaishnavas, the ones who we read about in the books and ones who are present with us in this movement, you see. We're walking around the planet right now. In the different ISKCON temples, there's so many exalted personalities in our temples. So we have to, and we have Prabhupada's books here, the Shastra. So we will take advantage of the gurus, the sadhus, and the books, the Shastra, and focus on making this transition from the position of being, you know, motivated to being unmotivated. Then to the extent that we're successful in doing that, to that extent we will find great transcendental satisfaction in this process of Krishna consciousness. Actually, no one has to give us a certificate, well, now you're advanced in Krishna consciousness. We can feel it. If one is satisfied simply by hearing and chanting about Krishna, one drives great satisfaction just by being absorbed in Krishna Katha, then you can know you're advancing very nicely. But if you get restless when the Krishna Katha is going on, well, when can this be over with? When is Vishadam? When can I sleep? When can I do this, that, money here, there, do this and that, and this and that, you see? That means we're not advancing through Krishna consciousness. So how much we have that taste to dive deeply into this nectarian ocean, Krishna's transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, dham, philosophy, and paraphernalia. Just like when you're eating, and someone has to tell you when you're filled up. No, you know, when your belly gets stuck, you know, that's it. The server comes by with more prasadam, you say, nope, nope, no more. When you're getting filled up, you know you're getting filled up. So, when one is actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, one knows, one can feel the difference in one's consciousness. One will feel transcendental happiness. Nahi gyanena sadvisham pavitramiya vidyate satyam yoga samsara kalinadmani vindati. One will feel, in this world actually, there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who becomes accomplished in the practice of devotional service relishes this knowledge within himself in due course of time. So, Prabhupada explained that one who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, he's totally satisfied. He can actually just sit somewhere and be totally satisfied by his Krishna consciousness. That is called Atmananda. Of course, at the same time, he is very, very dissatisfied to see all around the world how much the suffering is going on. Actually, I had an experience, I think it was, what airport was it? Yeah, the Delhi airport. And I was departing Delhi on the way to Hong Kong. One gentleman, the man who did the frisking, to see if I had carrying any weapons or any bombs, you know, inside my dhoti. He was a pious man, you know, spiritually minded person. And he saw that I was not ordinary. I like to travel in the dhoti with tilak. I don't like to go in. Some devotees I see there with hands, hat, no tilak. But I like to wear a dhoti and tilak and nice shaved head and be, you know, obviously Hare Krishna person. I like that. It's wonderful. Feels good. Get to advertise for Prabhupada, you know, wherever I go. So anyway, he said, he saw I was doing this, and he said, well, how long have you been doing it? I said, well, for 37 years. And he was thinking, he's saying, like, wow, how do you feel then? He was expecting me to say, wow, it's really blissful. He was thinking I would say something. I said, I feel horrible. He was a little shocked. I feel horrible. I told him, because all around I see that the people of this world are not Krishna conscious. And that really impressed me. So, actually, that is the feeling, is we feel very, the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, the more we feel satisfied, and the more we feel dissatisfied, simultaneously. The more we become Krishna conscious, there's a natural feeling of compassion and concern for the world condition that becomes more and more manifest. So we become more and more depressed. The more we become ecstatic by, you know, developing a softness of heart with Krishna, the more we become that same softness of heart when we consider the position of the materialistic people. It's pathetic, absolutely pathetic situation. It's so sad. You see, Prabhupada was a perfectionist. Prabhupada would just cry. I heard, I think it was in Melbourne. I remember one description. He was walking in the park in Melbourne, and he saw the commuters coming on Monday morning. And Prabhupada was crying, actually, feeling sorry for these poor souls, and just working, working, with no Krishna consciousness, with no pathway back to the spiritual world is completely caught up in karma chakra. Prabhupada was actually crying. Just to see the Monday morning commuters, it brought tears to his eyes, you see. If we can imagine what depth of compassion, you see, is felt by these great souls like Srila Prabhupada. I can talk about it, but Prabhupada can actually feel it, you see. So, this Krishna consciousness process will take us to the most wonderful sublime state of consciousness, to where we can feel our connection with Krishna at every minute. Yamam pasyati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pasyati tasyam na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So many people who are working jobs, they ask me, well, how do, it's a very common question, how do I, I'm Krishna conscious at the temple, but when I go to work, it just drains my Krishna consciousness right out of me. You see, how can I be Krishna conscious at work? Well, this verse 6:30 of Bhagavad Gita gives us some hint, you see. That if one really becomes deeply immersed in Krishna consciousness, then you experience Krishna everywhere. You experience him in the temple, even in your office you can experience Krishna. So what are the tips how you can experience Krishna in the office? I got the first time I came face to face with Srila Prabhupada, he gave us this tip. This is in June of 1971 in Golden Gate Park. Prabhupada said, every one of you are drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna, the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. So how many times in your office do you go to the water cooler and take a drink of water? You see? There's an opportunity to connect with Krishna. Every time you go to get that drink of water, you see, rasoham sukham deya. You can remember that verse and relish, this is Krishna. Very nice taste, very refreshing, invigorating, enlivening experience. Krishna. So even and then your manager is breathing down your throat or breathing down your neck, I mean to say, squeezing every amount of energy he possibly can out of you, and how you be Krishna conscious in dealing with your manager. Well, Krishna says, I am the ability in man. You can think, wow, Krishna is really empowered. He's really expertly squeezing every amount of energy out of me that I have. And you see, this is Krishna. So the point is, the more we study these books, the more we learn how to see everything through these books, then we can be Krishna conscious at every step, wherever we may be. In a traffic jam, at the grocery store, at the dentist office, here at the temple, at home, when we wake up in the morning, when we go to bed at night. The idea is, train yourself to connect with Krishna at every second. That's the key. Train yourself how to be connecting with Krishna at every single second. And then, one will not become bewildered. You see. In other words, don't think that now I'm initiated, so, you know, all my material desires are over the hill. I don't have to worry about them anymore. It's all over the hill. I remember one time when I was in my, many years ago, maybe it was in my 40s, I was thinking, well, I'm in my 40s now, surely my material desires must be over the hill. So I told my godmother, Drishtaprabhu, I said, well, it's over the hill. And I said, over the hill, but not out of the woods. So we should never think, you see, that, oh yes, now I'm on the safe side. You know, Maya can get us at any minute. Any minute, Maya Devi can nab us. So never think, now I'm fixed up the Bodhi. I'm initiated, I'm fixed up, no problem. I'm going back to Godhead, guaranteed, not to worry about it. No, we have to be very, very, what is the Prabhupada said? One should have a very healthy fear of Maya. One should always be afraid of Maya. But Maya can get me at any minute. Indriyanam hi chadasam yanmam anuvidiyate tadasya hariti pragyam vayir namavimambati. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the senses with which the mind becomes engaged can carry away a man's intelligence. Just take one sense. Take one glance at the wrong thing. Can finish you off. Look at Ajamya. One glance and he was finished. One glance at that Shudra couple sexually embracing and he was finished. So how careful we have to be at every minute. Even one glance could destroy us. One glance. So we must be very, very careful. This Krishna Bhakti, razors, like razors, that straight edge razor. Not safety razor, straight edge razor. Because now we don't shave those anymore. You don't even see them around anymore. They used to have them in Vrindavan, but now they don't. I got shaved up one time by a barber with a straight edge razor with no shaving cream. There's not a single scratch, but boy, did it hurt. And then he sharpened the blade on his leg. I was amazed. He sharpened the razor on his leg. In the barber shop, they use a piece of leather to sharpen it. He sharpened it. He said, well, I got some leather right here. He sharpened it on his leg. But those straight-edged razors are very dangerous. You got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, one slip, you can cut your neck, you see. They're very dangerous things. They're misused. So Krishna comments is like that. Straight edge razor. You have to be very, very careful. One slip, finish. Prabhupada, as I mentioned yesterday, Prabhupada told us in Boston, I'm always praying to Krishna that I will not fall down. So if Prabhupada is praying like that, what should be our mood? If Prabhupada is praying like that, what should be our mood? How careful we have to be, begging the mercy, begging the protection of our spiritual master, of Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya, how much we must beg the protection. If we're thinking we don't need it, we're in a very dangerous, dangerous position. We have to always be begging the protection. Like that prayer we sing, Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 hey! Krishna, 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 Rakshaman! Krishna, 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 Pahiman! Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshaman! Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahiman! Begging for that protection. Begging for protection. So we are always in this mood of begging protection, not being proud and puffed up that now I have my diksha, I'm a big fixed up brahmana, I give classes, I do puja, and I'm very advanced, you see. I'm recognized throughout the society as a learned scholar. No. We are never on the safe side as long as we're in this material existence. Be very careful. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes, Manaji. Speak up because my hearing is really gone.
I have a question. I apologize rather than a comment. I'd like to apologize to you and to my wife for the comment earlier.
Tell me what she said.
She's making a comment. And she's a
What was he saying? I couldn't make out what he was saying. Anybody could hear what he was saying?
Cool, man.
Sometimes being hard of hearing is again. I could have better to say something wrong. I mean, what's going on here? But anything else? Yeah.
Yeah. How can we actually stop ourselves? And the translation here is talking about how, you know, we can just basically have the mentality that by getting initiated, we've already, you know, passed the stage where we can actually fall down. So how do we remind ourselves not to get familiar with the process of
That's a very good question. How we can remind ourselves not to be familiar with the process. I was brought to this movement by a very wonderful devotee, Prabhupada, His Holiness Vishnujana Maharaj. And he said very nice one of his sayings. He said, casual means casualty. You probably got it from Prabhupada. I never heard Prabhupada say it. I hear Vishnujana Maharaj say, casual means casualty. So, to take the process and be familiar with the process means to be casual about it, laid back. Yes. Okay, now we can take it easy, laid back, you know, casual being casual. So if I get casual with the process, then I just beg in and say, my okay, I'm ready to become a casualty. You see. So if you remember that little saying, casual means casualty. That will help you to always remain sober. Sometimes you think, well, I don't want to be too sober because it wouldn't be fun. But the fact is, the more you become sober, the more you become ecstatic. The more we become sober, the more we taste the nectar. So this idea, I don't want to get too serious because then I won't be, you know, the devotees won't like me. You know, they won't enjoy me around because I'm too serious. No. There's no such thing as being too serious or too sober. Because the more you become serious, I mean, you can just look at the, you know, the Vyasa Puja books of the pictures of Prabhupada. Have you ever seen anybody who looks more sober than Prabhupada? He's the most Prabhupada, and you look at those pictures, the depth of his sobriety is unlimited depth to his sobriety. And then, when he's smiling and laughing, as Sally Agarwal said, it's oceanic. When Prabhupada laughs, it's like he takes in the whole universe. It's such a humongous jolliness. The whole universe is practically taken into his laugh. If we can remember the great sobriety of our most beloved founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and try to follow in the footsteps of this greatest of all spiritual masters, then that will help us. It's called following in the footsteps of these great personalities. We try to adopt the same mood of these great Acharyas. This will help us. Try to develop that same mood of Srila Prabhupada. Any other questions? Yes?
Maharaj, you were saying that someone who is following the bhakti, but at the same time he is creeping the sea of material desire within his heart. So, how should we be careful not to get into that habit while we are following this process?
Well, one should know what are the weeds. If you're a gardener and you want to protect your plant, your creeper, bhakti lata creeper, then you have to know what are the weeds. So the big ones are illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And there are Solomon's also, the Nama Parats. If you can keep out the four regulated principles, you follow those strictly, and at the same time, carefully avoid the 10 offenses, then you'll be on the right track. Within those 14 principles, the 10 offenses and the 4 regulative principles, your garden would be safe. So one should know what are the 10 offenses against the Holy Name. And being vigilant that I'm not committing them while I'm chanting. And when I'm not chanting also, 24 hours a day, we have to guard against the 10 offenses. The worst of all of them, of course, is the hati matza, to be offensive towards Vaishnavas. So, if you could just say, well, I won't offend Vaishnavas, I'm just going to go off and be a hermit. Then no. It means you have to live in the society of devotees and learn how to properly respect the Vaishnavas, how to deal with them properly. Not that I worship my guru and everybody else is a jerk. I did. Narottam Das says, Anandi Bolohari Pajab Nindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, worship Vrindavan Dham, and always worship in your heart of hearts the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So, that is a very important thing. If we become disrespectful to devotees, then that is a weak. We're harboring some negative feeling towards another Vaishnava. That is a weak. We have to be very careful to learn how to appreciate the good qualities of everyone. We have to see the good, even in the non-devotees, we should see their good qualities. Otherwise we'll develop a holier than thou attitude, which can hurt us. Bhaktivedanta Thakura mentions jiva aparada. So we have to learn how to be respectful. It's like this man who was so disrespectful. I tried to be respectful to him. He was barking like a dog. I didn't bark back. I tried to be respectful to him. But my dear sir, we have a time for discussion at the end. If you would like to be patient and wait, you're welcome to discuss. In this way, I tried to be very respectful to him. But I had to politely ask him to leave when he obviously wasn't going to cooperate with our program. So we should learn how to be very respectful even to offensive persons like that. Not be unnecessarily harsh to anyone. As much harshness as required in circumstances, that harshness we must use. Otherwise they run all over us. But we should never be overly harsh, even when dealing with a person like this. Should always learn that we're dealing with parts and parcels of Krishna. And we have to always be very, very respectful to them as much as we possibly can. And the Vaishnavas, we can fully give our hearts. Especially as those who are more advanced in Krishna consciousness, you see. It's like here we have the Soliness Vanaspam, very advanced devotee, you see. We can give him all respect. Bow down his feet in this way and give him all this. So any other questions? Yes.
How to see Krishna everywhere, in every place?
Hmm?
How to see Krishna?
Yes. By love. Just like if someone falls in love with a girl, wherever they go, they see a flower and they think of their girlfriend. Oh, I must take this flower for my girlfriend. They go by a candy shop and they go, oh, I must buy a box of candy for my girlfriend. They see a house and think, well, I got to work hard and get this money so we can have this house. Whatever they see, they think of their girlfriend. Everywhere they go, everything they see reminds me of their girlfriend. You see. So, because they love their girlfriend. Well, you know. So if you go to them, we all know it's tens of, you know, it's actually less, but it's a mundane example, but the same principle applies in a very pure way, the more that we actually develop loving feelings for Krishna. Just like whenever my wife and I might be out shopping, immediately she's looking for jewelry for Radhadamodar. Immediately. Her mind immediately goes to Radhadamodar. Oh, here's some jewelry. We just We can be shopping for, you know, a new piece of luggage or something, but we walk by the jewelry immediately. Oh, Radha-Damodaran, let's look for some jewelry for Radha-Damodaran. In this way, the more you're in the mood of serving, the more in everything you'll connect everything with Krishna. You see, everything. So that's the key. The more you love Krishna, the more you want to serve Him, the more you will see Krishna everywhere and everything. So, yes, one other question.
Would you see Krishna for that gentleman who was talking to you just now, rudely?
Pardon?
The person,
yeah.
He was talking to you very rudely.
Yes.
So, would you think Krishna is there inside of him?
Krishna?
Is inside of him. Is Krishna present in him?
Of course. Sarvashyataham hridasamanishtavantakmatyagyanam cha. That person wants to forget Krishna, so Krishna is there providing the forgetfulness. His desire is to be antagonistic. So Krishna is giving him the arguments that he was blurting out, whatever they were. Krishna provided them because he wanted them. So I can see how Krishna is in him and giving him his cup because he wants that, he's getting it. Krishna is giving it to him. Anything else?
If you see a terrorist,
hmm?
You see a terrorist and he's showing gun on you, would you still think that Krishna is there? How would it be?
You know, my Prabhupada is, if I see, if someone points, pulls a gun on me, but I see Krishna there, well, you know, Prabhupada, when he was during World War II, he was sitting in Calcutta. And the Japanese, they were launching air raid on Calcutta. The sirens were going off, and everyone was running to the bomb shelters. The Prabhupada was running to shot them. No one's going to mess with the shot, even the Japanese. So he sat there peacefully honoring the shot, and he heard the bombs falling. Prabhupada told us what they sounded like. He said, Chi Kyam. He was thinking, here is Krishna. So I'm not on that level, but I have had a gun pulled at me when I was out on Sankirtan. instead of meditating on seeing Krishna in the gun, I moved away. We were doing the traffic light. It used to be a technique in the U.S. You stand at the traffic light and you have a bucket of. We'd have BTGs and candy in the bucket. You hand them a piece of candy and then they give a donation, give them a BTG, move to the next car, just go up and down the road. And it went, instead of getting a donation, I got a gun in my face. I said, well, I don't think I'll go to the next car. I just want a BTG. Yeah. Yeah, that was in Miami Temple one time. We had an armed robbery during Nath Prasadam. That was an exciting evening. They had one Brahmacharini. They grabbed her and put her hand over her mouth and brought her in with a gun in her head as a hostage and told us all to get down on the floor. I thought, this is nonsense. I was yelling out the Sringadev real loud. So they took the gun away from the poor Brahmacharini and pointed it at me. But luckily the temple president, the temple treasury adjoined the prasadam room. Of course that's what they were looking for, the treasury. The treasurer was sitting at the desk and Abhiram Prabhu, you know, he came out of the treasury. He didn't know what was going on. He just watched it. He just walked casually into the prasadam room. There's an armed robbery going on. He went. And the gunman took the gun. He turned it upside down. And he came at Abhiram to hit him on the head with the gun. But Abhiram was very smart. He turned to the treasurer because there was a gun in the desk. The treasurer had a gun right in front of him in the desk drawer. He said, "Get the gun and shoot the bastard." As soon as the thief heard that, he didn't want to be there anymore. He headed the other way, and the treasurer, Yadavacharya, he pulled the gun, and he came running out, and he missed. the gun went into the, and the bullet went into the wall. And the thieves were gone, and everything was okay. So, and then we, you know, and we went back to taking our milk for in a slightly, in a more Krishna conscious mood, you could say. So anyway, in that case, I thought, well, let's call upon Lord Nrisimhadeva, you know. And if we call his protection, then something will be okay. You know, even though here we are on an armed robbery with a you know, gun and everything, they're ready to shoot us to get the money. If I just call Nrisimhadeva, somehow or other, everything will be okay, and it was. So, you know, I didn't know what would happen. This guy, I thought he might attack me. He may come running at me with a knife. I didn't know. Who knows? You just have to always put your faith in Krishna, you know. But here in the Shingon, Hridaya, and everything will be okay. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Gantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.